Something is going to happen here. Okay. Again, if I start speaking too fast, please slow me down. You know, it is an interesting thing when somebody is in our midst who does not have strong English yet. It is easy to remember that the person I'm speaking to may not understand. For someone like me, what is especially dangerous is to think that when I am speaking to people who do have good English, that they automatically understand, right? It takes, not just if you're standing here, when you are talking to a friend, when you are talking to somebody who needs God's help, remember, they actually may not understand what it is that God wants to say to them, even though you are speaking the same language, right? It isn't my point to talk about these things today, but I do want to remind you, the thing that we need is to really hear what is God saying. Not what we think he is saying, what we wish he would say, what we don't want him to say, but really what God is saying. Because what God is saying will save us if we take hold of it. What we want God to say will not save us. What we think God ought to say to somebody else will not necessarily help them. But what God really is saying, it is always to help us. Always. 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 Now, we have been talking in our services various things about how to do things that God wants. Okay? So, for this past year, our theme really has been how to. And we've talked about a number of things. Things like how to use God's word. What are you supposed to do with this? How do you take advantage of it? How do you benefit from it? We talked about how to be filled with Holy Spirit. Everybody who has believed in Jesus, God says that they have been made alive. And it means something more than they breathe. They have blood moving through them. He is not talking about the physical life that we have. He's talking about eternal life. Human beings were made to be connected to God, to have a close friendship with God, so that he could tell us and unfold to us marvelous things, wonderful things. But in the beginning, because mankind disobeyed God, that connection was broken. And all the trouble that the world has ever had is because the connection between God, who is good, and mankind was broken. It resulted in nothing but evil being the ultimate thing that would come. And God wanted to rescue us. So he gave his son. His own son came and did everything right, and yet he died. Why did he die? It was to pay the price of everybody else who had not done what was right. And now, everyone who believes in Jesus, that Jesus did this for me, is reconnected to God, and Holy Spirit comes to live inside you. Holy Spirit is God himself, and he comes to live inside you. But that doesn't mean he automatically does the good that he wants to do. We have to agree. So we talked about how to be filled with Holy Spirit, because he wants you to learn how to give him opportunity to do things in you and through you. Okay? It is normal for the Christian to live in this close, I'm going to use the word intimate, because I can't think of a better word, very close friendship with God by the Holy Spirit. And He makes the impossible possible for you. But you need to be filled. And most recently, we have been talking about how to watch over your heart, because that is where Holy Spirit operates from. And if you don't watch over your heart, then what God wants to do will be blocked. Okay? God is not mad at you if you block Him, but it doesn't result in the good that He wants coming. We were reading from Proverbs where God said, all the things in your life, what is going on, actually, it flows from your heart. We might think it flows from our circumstances. And so if my circumstances were better, then my life would be better. Actually, every person has trouble. It is just a part of the life that is here because of that original break with God. Every life has trouble. But those who have believed in God, it is possible to overcome that trouble because Holy Spirit has come. But to make it work, you have to watch over your heart. And we talked a fair bit about that. I said I was going to finish that last week. And so I encourage you, if you haven't understood or you don't remember, go back and listen to those messages on the website. They're there for us. And before I begin to talk about our next how-to, which is probably going to be how to worship, okay? Today I want to just take a brief pause and talk about being faithful in little things. Okay? And so I want to read to you two places. One, we're going to Luke chapter 17. Warren probably can get us up there. Oh, hey, now I can hear my am I doing something wrong with the mic? did I get that right? Hang on. Oh, you know what? It wasn't Luke 17. I distracted myself with something else. Just give me a moment. Sorry, Luke chapter 16. Yep. I have my wrong glasses on. In verse 10. Okay, now, I am taking this verse a little bit out of context, but the principle that he is identifying is valid. It is correct. Now, how I am taking out of context is this. He is actually talking about how to handle money. Okay? How we are to behave with regards to money. But in the middle of that, he says what we're about to read. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. And just to finish the context, he's telling you one of the littlest things you need to learn is how to be faithful with money. Money is not this grand thing you learn how to deal with after you have been friends with God for a long time. He says it's a simple thing, okay? But the principle is what I want to talk about. He who is faithful in a little thing will be faithful in a big thing. He who cannot be faithful in a little thing will also not be faithful in big things. Okay? And now, I want to go back to Genesis chapter 12. And I want to use the story of Abraham as a way of us getting a hold of this, be faithful in little. The time that I have does not allow me to talk a lot about who Abraham is and why he is so important, but let me just say this. When God came up with his plan to rescue all of mankind, he decided to use one particular man to play an important part. Okay? There was nothing special about this man. He was just like every other man, but God decided to use him, and this is what we are about to read. Now, the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. And so you shall, I will, and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." So he chose a man named Abram, but what was God's real purpose? That all the families of the earth would be blessed. This is just how he chose to do it, okay? So now let's read what Abram's reaction was to that, okay? So God said, go forth from your country, go forth from your relatives, go forth from your father's house to the land that I will show you. Here's what Abram did. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now, Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And thus they came to the land of Canaan. Okay? So, Abram was told to go forth from his country, to go forth from his father's house and from his relatives. When Abraham gets going, okay, and this is only part of the story, the bigger story we don't have time for today, but I just want to show you here. When Abraham got going, did he leave his relatives? No. He did not leave his relatives, okay, because Lot, this guy named Lot, was his nephew. Your nephew is your relative. But Abram, took Lot with him. Okay? And went to the place that God said. Now, Abram has some misadventures there. I want to read to you next from verse 8 of chapter 13, okay? So we're jumping ahead in the story. Things have happened. Both Abram and his nephew have prospered in this land. They have gotten more and more sheep. Okay, remember, this was a long time ago. They didn't buy stocks. They didn't buy property. They had sheep, they had cattle. It was farming that they were used to doing. But Abram and Lot, they gained more and more cattle, more and more sheep. At that time, slavery was acceptable. They gained more and more people to work for them. And it got to the point where the land where they were could not support both of them. And the servants of Lot were fighting with the servants of Abram. That place is for us to feed our cattle.
No, it's ours.
Back and forth. So, Abram said to Lot in verse 8, please, let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right. Or if to the right, then I will go to the left. Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, as you go, like the land of Egypt, as you go to Zoar. In other words, Lot saw that part of this place was really good for farming. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. Arise, walk about the land through its length and breadth, for I will give it to you. Okay, I want to stop there. So, God speaks to Abram and says, leave your country, your father's house, your relatives, go to the place I will show you, and I will make you great, and I will bless all the families of the earth through you. Abram goes, but takes his relative with him. We didn't read the in-between part, and I encourage you to do that, okay? But God says very little to Abram about what he wants to do in that time, until Lot separates from him. Okay? When Lot separates from him, then Abram has fulfilled what God told him to do originally. Right? Now he is left his father's, he's left his country. Okay, that part was relatively easy. Okay? But if you look at the bigger story, it didn't happen as you might imagine. He left his country because his father took him out of the country. Abraham didn't just say, I gotta go. His father had to take him to another place. And then he went from there to the place that God wanted him to go only because his father died. And then when he finally gets going to where God wanted him to go, he still brings Lot with him. So he doesn't really do what God told him to do until Lot has finally separated from him. Now, how did that come about? Did Abraham say, you know what? God told me to leave my relatives. You're my relative. Go so that I can do what God... No! What happened? Situation. Circumstance. Something happened that resulted in Lot choosing to go one way and Abraham choosing to go the other way. Now, it is worth noting that even though Abram did not do everything God said immediately, he still believed in God. Because if you didn't have confidence that God would help you, you would not give Lot first choice of where to go. Right? Because there were some places in the land that were really good for farming, and other places, not so much. So, if you don't have some kind of thought, God will still help me, whatever happens here, you would say, I'm choosing there. Instead, he gives Lot the first place to choose. So, something has happened to Abram in this adventure so far, he does have some faith in God, okay? But it actually took circumstance for Abram to be where God told him to be. And when he was where God told him to be, he had done the three things that he was supposed to do, then God spoke to him again and gave him a bigger picture of what was going to happen. Now, for those who know the story of Abram, you know that something impossible is going to happen. Abram, who is very old, and his wife, who cannot have children, is going to have a child. That doesn't happen normally. But God doesn't tell him about that yet. That comes down the road, okay? You know, if you have read this story, Abraham tries to help the process along because he's limited by his thought of what is possible. His first thought is not, God can do anything. There is no problem for my wife to have a child. That is not his thought. He listens to his wife's reasoning and says, well, you could have a child with my servant, and I'll call that my child. Abraham says, okay, yeah, that makes sense. That's how God's going to do it. So God has not told Abram the full plan yet. Okay? I want to tell you that this is the pattern that is true for us as well. There is a plan that God has for you that results in not just you being blessed, but people beyond you being blessed. And even though your name is not Abram, okay, or the female equivalent of Abram, okay, it doesn't change the pattern with which God does things. It's his way that we want to understand. Because it is not true that if God wants something, it always happens like that. God wanting something is not the only variable. For reasons that are beyond our ability to explain, God has chosen to work with human beings. I think it has to do with the real reason we were made was for that friendship. And friendship means you do things together, not you just do whatever the boss tells you. Okay? We are not God's employees. We who have believed in God, we are not his employees. We are his sons and daughters. We are not hired servants. Our relationship is not that between a boss and the person who has to do what he says. Okay? It is completely different. Now, I am not saying that obedience doesn't matter, that we don't have things that we should do out of reverence for him. But it is worth recognizing what God is really working toward is this intimate friendship with you that makes everything possible. He wants to get at things in our heart that get in the way of that. Things that we may not recognize, but he knows about. Okay? Let's be honest and let's be humble. We don't know as much as God does about ourselves, about our circumstances. Okay? It really is a presumption for you to say, I know what it is that I need here. Because I am flawless in my analysis. I have no biases. I am careful in my thinking. I'm not affected by emotion or sin. I am right when I say, this is what God needs to do. Give it a rest. Right? There are things, we are complex beings. And we don't see as we ought to see. Not because we're evil intentioned, but we're just humans. And God is the infinite, beyond what we can imagine he can do. So he knows what he's doing with us, okay? And just like with Abram, he tells us something. Maybe it's about healing. Maybe it's about how to deal with a cranky relative. Maybe whatever it is. Maybe it's to do with your boss. Maybe it's to do with your children. Maybe it's to do with your money. Whatever it is. Whatever it is that God wants to help you with next, he will tell you, I want you to do this. But he will not tell you the whole plan. He will not give you the full revelation of how this is going to work. He just gives you a little bit. Why is that? First of all, everything that God wants to do in you and with you will require you to believe Him. If it wasn't by believing Him, then you could think, I earned this. And that God will not allow. He does not want to put the burden of your salvation on you by you thinking, I gotta earn this. Okay? Now, on the one hand, we like to boast, look what I did. But if it really was by your performance, none of us would succeed. It really would be the case. It is a burden. It is a problem to have to earn salvation. So instead, God says, it is by you believing me. Because then it will be by grace. I can do things for you that you don't deserve. Okay? So it will not be by you accomplishing something. It has to be by you believing something. Well, believing doesn't just happen. It's not a switch you turn on. It is something that develops. It is better to think of believing like a muscle. Okay? Now, every human being, if they are healthy, if there's not something wrong with them, every human being has the same muscles. Okay? We all have biceps. We all have triceps. That's why our arm moves. We all have muscles in our eyes that move the eye around. Okay? So every human being has muscles. But you know that some human beings can lift a lot more than other human beings. Right? Why is that? Well, that's because they have muscles that I don't. Actually, that's not true. They have the same muscles. What is the difference between me and a person who can lift 500 pounds or whatever it is that human beings lift? They have trained. Okay? Now, the analogy is weak because God also can gift people with an exceptional strength, but I think you understand the idea. If I cannot lift the maximum amount that someone like me can lift, it's not because I don't have muscles. It's because I haven't done the work to get there. You should think about believing as a muscle that needs to be exercised to get stronger and stronger and stronger so that with your faith, you can accomplish things. Sounds great. I'm all for it. I just never do it. So God knows how to work with us. He only gives us a little bit. Why? Because if He said, Titus, I want you to lift every person here in the room all at once, no way. So instead He says, Titus, I just want you to lift your Bible. Okay, I can do that. But if I did this, God, Titus says, God, lift your Bible. I can do that. Amen. Hey, Jake, God told me to lift my Bible. Wow, I can do that. But I haven't done it. When I finally get to doing it, and it could be because it's time to pack up and I have to put my Bible away, that I finally pick it up and then God can say, now, I want you to do that 5 times. What is God doing? Is He just finding something for me to do? No, He is never just inventing stuff for you to be busy with. He is always thinking about how to get you to a stronger place of faith. How to get you to the place where what He wants to do, you can receive. That passage that we read from Luke, he who is faithful in a little will be faithful in more. He who is not faithful in a little will not be faithful in something big. Is a principle we need to understand. We tend to want to jump ahead. Just give me to the miracle. Bring me to the miracle. We want the quick and the instantaneous. And I am in exactly the same boat as everybody else. I want the quick and the instantaneous. And God is after not just you having the result, but being able to have the result and more. You want something in your circumstance, in your situation. And that something probably came from God Himself saying, this is what I want for you. We tend to settle for just the thing. God is viewing it as the thing and more. I want to get you ready for the thing and more. You need healing? Well, I want you to be healed and help somebody else get healed. You need money? I want you to prosper and help somebody else get to prosper. God is always thinking about the more. And so His plan is, let me train you to believe. Be faithful in a little. So, as this week begins to unfold, what is your responsibility in your circumstances? Well, we've already talked about things like watch over your heart, okay? Because if you don't, the circumstance is going to dominate you. And the devil will get a chance to kick you a few times as the circumstance dominates you. Okay? It's not God saying, okay, go and torment her for a bit. It's not God at all. It's God said, child, you be careful here. The devil wants to come and mess you up. Don't you let him. You watch over your heart. And, you know, we talked about the ways that we could do that. Start with, in all things, give thanks. Okay? This is your basic pick up your Bible exercise. In all things, give thanks, because it trains you to be able to do more. Okay? So as we look at what we have to do, yes, watch over your heart, but be faithful in the little bit that you do know to do. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. God, see, the thing about this story with Abraham, it's not just finally Abraham got to the place where God wanted him to. Do you see the hand of God orchestrating it? So when Abram left where he was and took off to where God wanted him to go with Lot, i.e. disobeying God, what was God's reaction? It wasn't, hands off, I'm not doing anything with you. No, it wasn't. God went with Abram. God went with Abram. He used the circumstances that arose because of Abram's choices to bit by bit bring him to the place where Abram would choose to do what God said to do. So it is with you and me. He doesn't abandon you. Well, I told you what to do. When you finally do it, then maybe we'll talk about it. It's not him. It's not him. But the things that you are after cannot happen until the things God wants you to be faithful in, you've been faithful with. So He helps you. What I want you to take away from today is two things. One, I need to be faithful with a little, because it's God's plan to help me to be faithful with more. Two, even when I'm not faithful with a little, God is still with me, working. Working. He hasn't stopped. Okay? I don't know how He does it, but He has a way of bringing you to the place where you can again make the right choice. He has a way of doing it. I don't know about you, but I cannot say I deserve the things that I have in my life. I can't tell you how many times God was just merciful to me, kind to me, to grant me what I could not deserve. He is the one who has been working to bring me to the places where I finally say, yes, okay, I believe you there. I believe you there. I can have knowledge. I think I shared it with you before. You know, we wanted to have kids after we got married. We were having trouble. I understood the teaching. I understood the principles involved. Wasn't working. Because I wasn't doing what God wanted me to do. To be faithful in the principle. I had to act on faith, not simply be knowledgeable about the principles. I had to take a stand in faith. Someone was, as is typical, way ahead of me. And when I finally caught up, then all of a sudden we have Sophia. Okay? But during that time, it wasn't like God said, I told you to believe me. I'm waiting. No, He worked with the circumstances that we had to finally get me to the place where I could say, oh, I'm not believing. I thought I was believing, but I am not. I'm not believing. God didn't abandon us. He didn't leave us on our own device and say, well, I told you what to do. Once you figure it out, come back to me.
No.
Two things. He will never leave you, but you still need to learn to be faithful with little things. In the midst of all of your complications and circumstances, remember, all you got to do is be faithful with a little, a little, a little. Because it makes room for the next. I'm not trying to tell you that it's a one-step process. Be faithful with this little thing. Bang, there it is. There can be many steps. But you will not get to the steps that you need, that you want, without being faithful with a little. Faith matters to God. We cannot bypass it. It is better than knowledge. It is better than understanding. It is better than insight. It is better than being studious. Although all of those things are worthwhile, you cannot short-circuit this simple thing. You need to believe. But hallelujah, God knows how to perfect the faith that he gave you. And that's what we want to be involved with. Okay, I'm going to stop there. I think next week, we'll see, we'll start talking about how to worship, because I think that's important. God has ways in all of these things. Let's just pray as we end. Father, again, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you are mindful of us far beyond what we can even imagine. You are mindful of us. You keep all of our tears in a bottle. You know where we say yes. You know where we think we've said yes when we haven't. You know where we say no. And you love us perfectly. And I just ask for help. And you would help us in this day, in this week. Help us, stir us, remind us just to be faithful with little things. Because you are making us fit for bigger things. And we want everything you've prepared for us. And above all, we want to believe. So we just invite you to work with us. Help us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're right with us. Bring us into the next things you have for us. Help us to simply say yes to the small and trust you for the bigger. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Amen.